Well, it's gonna take a while for There's been a lot of busted stuff lately, so I assume that you guys all have some good stuff to look at. If you don't, I do. There you go. Dr. Duncan had a fracture last night. I don't know if anybody was working. Probably. You won't see that every day. Chamberlain did some of the.
Oh yeah, I heard. So you've seen this one.
Chamberlain did the fixation on this. He showed it to me.
We didn't know if we had to ship that out or if he would do it.
Well, I mean, I see pressure as much as I almost, but.
Dr. Minapachi is actually currently leading you down a very nice pathway right now. I can just blow that up if you want. Do you want me to blow?
No, that's okay. That's cool.
What do you see? You just said something. So what did you say? Yeah, there you go. So what is that? What are you talking about there? I don't know. This is a complete spilled teacup. I think he called it a perilunate, but a dictation. But I thought initially when I first looked at it, the whole spilled teacup, it was a lunate dislocation. But I guess when he got in there to do the reduction of it, it became a perilunate.
It is. The other like the hand surgeons and I may not even get this 100% right, but the other thing the hand surgeons say about this is that it's a transradial. Type for perilunate dislocation, because the fracture it starts, it goes through the radius. Sometimes you'll have an associated scaphoid fracture with these two when they're really bad. Then it's a transradial transscaphoid perilunate dislocation, and it's a volar perilunate dislocation because that's where the lunate is. You see the lunate flipped out and facing you, so the empty cup, if you will, of a lunate facing the palm, okay, the capitate with nothing underneath it, okay, you see the radial styloid fracture here and the scaphoid falling into it, okay, so all the ligaments around the lunate, perilunate, all the ligaments around the lunate are torn and it's spit out the palmar side.
This here? Or that one? This one?
This is a devastating wrist injury, and if it fixes perfectly and heals perfectly and the person does perfect rehab, they'll have a horrible outcome anyways. And I don't say that facetiously. It's in the hands of people that you know, orthopedic hand surgeons that do nothing but like fix these bad things for a living. Only about 50% of the people with this type of injury actually do well and go back to doing like, you know, heavy labor kind of work and stuff like that. It's just got the reconstruction. This is still a orthopedic work in progress in terms of how to get something like this to heal up and patients to do very well long term. And Dr. Woolahan reduced this, and then Dr. Chamberlain did the ligament reconstruction procedure on this. He did a beautiful job. But if it's a really devastating injury to the patient here, you definitely have to watch neurovascular checks on somebody like this. The lunate is basically spit into the palm, so you're worried about, you know, median nerve kind of trouble, swelling. I mean, it's all there in this injury. So. It doesn't always have to be opened up to be reduced. As an orthopedic resident, I had to reduce a couple of these in the ER myself. It's very difficult. I don't expect you. I would never expect any of you to tackle this in the ER. Okay. And I would not like, unless it was an urgency and I didn't have any other choice, I wouldn't tackle this in the ER either. Okay. It's very, very difficult to manipulate this. You have to have super big time sedation in order to get people relaxed enough to manipulate that lunate back underneath the decapitate again. Now sometimes it does go the other way, and when everything's blown up, it's just kind of a bag of bones and you can just kind of mush stuff back together because there's like nothing holding it. But when this may have been that way, this may have been kind of a bag of bones things where you could just kind of feel the lunate and just kind of shove it back underneath. But unfortunately, in a lot of cases, this is very difficult to reduce. But yes. Uh huh. I think that's a question for whoever you're transferring it to. And that's not a cop out. You know, if you're calling me from Sure or wherever up in the thumb and said, hey, we have this, we can send it, and I'm just going to run through that whole list of questions with you about, you know, is the patient neurovascularly tagged, et cetera. But probably I'm going to want that to come right away. Mostly because I would be concerned that if there wasn't neurovascular compromise at the time you're seeing them, in the interim, 4, 5, 6, 8 hours or whatever it took to get to me, there could be. So, fix the radial styloid with a single screw, manipulated the bones so that they line up good again, held them provisionally with K-wires, and then did a ligament reconstruction with some wire for the scapulunate ligament. So, really looks pretty good. But that's like 3 to 4 hours of surgery. And Chamberlain's pretty fast. What else? Oh, we got, you got more?
Yeah.
Sweet. Anyone want to go? Bless you.
Who's Kate?
Okay. Of what bone? Humerus. Okay. Distal humerus, supracondylar fracture. Displaced, non-displaced? Angulated? Less than 10 degrees, 10 millimeters, 10 degrees. Angulated which way?
Distal to the proximal, more in the medial or anterior.
Okay. Anyone else have anything to add? Okay. Take the magnification off that for just a second. Crack is here. Okay. Sammy's right. Distal humerus, supracondylar fracture. Okay. This is not a good. This is an obliquogram. Give me a different AP. Okay. See the fracture come across here and exit here. Okay. This is the lateral side of the elbow. It's a little bit, just a smidge impacted there on the lateral side. A smidge opened up here on the medial side. And it's angulated. There's posterior angulation or apex anterior angulation, probably 10 degrees or less. There's no significant displacement here. So this is still a type 2 because it's not completely perfectly lined up. So in a type 1, there's absolutely no displacement, no angulation. In a type 2, you enter that gray zone where you start to have some movement of that piece, and then you go all the way to a type 3, which is 100% off. Okay, so this is a very, 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 very low level type 2. Had a discussion with the family in the office about what they wanted to do here, and yesterday I pinned it. So we pinned this yesterday, but I did. I pinned it yesterday. Okay. Who made the cookies?
Daddy. You can't keep your hands off them, can you? Yeah, that happens to all of us.
They're good. That was also blown. That was blown as well. I forgot to point that out. I saw it, but we got talking about the other thing. And yes. Yeah, there usually is. Okay.
Not a type.
All right. So who wants this? Smart man. Always come up so you can see.
So we have, once again, another, what looks like a supracondylar fracture of the distal humerus with posterior displacement of the distal fragment. Posterior, that's more of a, not a true, but the,
it's true.
Posterior lateral.
Yep.
Complete posterior, about 50% lateral displacement.
Okay.
So, if the supracondylar fracture with posterior lateral displacement, neurovascularly intact, complete displacement posteriorly, about 50% lateral displacement.
Okay. So it's 100% off. Okay. Here's a question that I have, because I get told this with fractures like this. Is the elbow reduced or not? Is the elbow dislocated? What's that? Good. I like how you say that to me. Like I'm, of course not. The elbow's with that. Okay, because you're, I mean you're right. The elbow joint is fine. But I've had people tell me that the elbow is dislocated here. The elbow joint is not dislocated. It is, as someone said, with the fracture. Okay, so good. What's that? What I would do with this in the ER is I'd absolutely make this straighter in the ER if the hand is compromised. I mean, if you've got, and because I've seen that, if you have a fracture like that and you got no blood flow to the hand, you got a blue hand or no pulse, then straighten it. Just straighten it right there. Anesthesia or not. Okay? That's totally fine. He lay his bike down?
No, he was a restrained front seat passenger.
Okay. Restrained front seat passenger. Okay. Anyone? Was this open?
No,
that was closed. Okay. Is that it? Anybody else? Okay. That's good so far. Anybody else see anything? And I would say this is, based on the views that I've seen, it's probably not 100% dislocated. It's 50% sublux, you know, dorsal, radial. Anyone else? In here? I'd have to see some other views. That may or may not be a fracture, but the other thing that you may be seeing is you may be seeing the sesamoid from the PA view, and that will make it look like there's a crack there. I don't know if there's actually a crack in the distal portion of the first metacarpal. But I know what you're looking at it, and I know that it looks funny, but you have a sesamoid here and a sesamoid here that I think is making that line there. What's that? What? Yeah, I'm not either. But it kind of looks okay, I think. Anyone else see any other fractures or anything else funky? Show me the oblique. Okay. Any other thoughts? Because we're not done yet. All right. I'm hearing nothing. Ring finger. Base of the proximal phalanx of the ring finger, palmar, radial-sided fracture into the joint. You see the one that you correctly called Diana right here, you see this piece coming off the base of the proximal phalanx of the small finger. That one also, I think, goes across that way, too. But there's also a fracture here. Base of the second metacarpal? I don't see anything. The index finger, right here, that's overlap with the trapezium. Okay, but this illustrates, one of the things that this illustrates that's been done correctly here is with metacarpals, metatarsals, fingers and toes, you have to have at least three views. APs and laterals aren't good enough. Okay, you have to have AP lateral and obliques, or you'll miss some fractures. Okay. Now, you wouldn't have missed it here, but you can miss them for sure. So you got to have obliques, okay?
They turn it off.
Okay. All right. So on that view, you can see that incongruity there now. You definitely see that. And you also see the fracture line coming across that way as well. Or you'll just throw up with Dan running the controls. Okay? Okay. Yes? I don't have the patient's name or number. Okay. What time was I supposed to be done?
12 o'clock.
Because was I supposed to be done at 8 and start at 7:30? But I was late. Okay, so we begin. Okay. All right. I pulled and it looked better.
I just want to know what Kenny is.
Very good. Another thing that I want to just highlight from that case that is, if you have a question about a fracture in any one of the digits, just have X-ray. Just do that digit. You're worried about the thumb. Is there a fracture there? You get three views or four views of just the thumb. Okay, they give you cone down views, better pictures than a whole hand thing. Okay, they can do that for you. Don't be afraid to do that. Okay.
This forearm on this one.
Yeah.
The obvious
that it is. No, I know that name. Okay, so who wants it? Talk to me. Somebody go for it. This is easy compared to what we've seen already.
Okay. Adele stepping up.
Way to go, Adele. After it's all
done. No, I was there. Oh, you did? You bumped it? Okay, go ahead.
Fracture of that, this kind of radius, this place,
50% in what direction? Okay. What view are you looking at? Okay. Look just at this picture and tell me what you see.
So just really practical, displaced by 50%.
Okay. Displaced in which direction? Okay, yep. Yep. It's always the relationship of the distal fragment to the proximal one. Okay. Proximal ulna? Show me the fracture of the proximal ulna. Right there? Okay. Anything else? Now tell me about the radius on the other view now.
Well, you didn't mention it, but you said this fracture here, right?
Yep.
And you called this one.
Yep, you called that. Okay.
They've already called it.
I know. Okay. So it does. The distal ulna is funky. The distal ulna is also funky. Yep. Yep.
But I can't see on that.
Okay. So that's good.
He appreciates funky.
Tell me on the lateral view on the other X-ray, what do you see? Yeah, angulation is in degrees. Okay. 10 degrees, which direction?
Radiant.
What's that?
Radiant.
Oh. You're looking at the lateral view, so the angulation is either going to be palmar, dorsal, anterior, or posterior. Posteriorly angulated, okay. How about displacement? Any displacement on the lateral view?
More than 50%.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely more than 50%. You see the entire end of the radius here, okay? The other part of the clue to the displacement at all is when you look at this view, you see the overlap here, okay? It couldn't be overlapped if it wasn't completely off, okay? This is 100% dorsally displaced distal radius fracture. It's overlapped. It's about a centimeter. Okay, it's also displaced in a radial direction. That's correct. There is an ulna shaft fracture here, a distal shaft at the same level, which is minimally angulated, non-displaced. There's also this is probably, I called it a Salter 4 of the distal ulna. Involves the styloid here, involves some of the metaphysis here, so it's on either side of the ephysis. So this is Salter 4. Okay, this here at the elbow, Adele, this is important. That is simply the growth plate of the olecranon. That is okay. Yes?
I was just talking to Chris about this because at 14, it should be closed by then. And so they actually ended up doing films on the other elbow to make sure that they were...
I ordered them. But I ordered them. I ordered the comparison views on this elbow because there was a question on the elbow views of this side as to whether or not there wasn't a fracture. So I just ordered comparison views, okay, and they look identical, all right? Now, in a 14-year-old kid, the growth plates may be completely closed, but in most 14-year-old boys, they're still open to some degree, okay? And there's a wide range, okay? The simplest thing I can tell you is if you look at a classroom of 12, 13, and 14-year-old kids, you got 12-year-old boys and you got 12-year-old boys, okay? And the difference in them is the skeletal age, okay? So if you got 12-year-old boys with a skeletal age of 10 and you got 12-year-old boys with a skeletal age of 14. And so it can be all over the map. Okay? All right? So this kid is from, this kid's from out of town. This kid's from Shelby Township. We reduced him in the ER. Came together pretty well, but it's a very unstable fracture, and he could still end up needing some work here. So,
what do you do with that filter
for? Nothing. Nothing.
Was the distal ulnar fracture through and through? It wasn't a green stitch.
The distal ulna?
Yeah.
It's kind of through and through,
okay.
But it didn't move. So there's some of the reduced fluoro shots. If he stays like that, there's probably nothing else you have to do, but it's so unstable that I told these people they got to get x-rays in about 5 days to make sure it hasn't moved at all. Because if it's moved at all, and a 14-year-old, probably you should fix it. So. Yeah, you can cross pin it. You could put a little plate and screws on that even and miss the growth plate and you'd be fine. So, question.
So if we were to reduce this in the ER and split this, how
does the sugar? Sugar, yeah. When both the distal radius and ulna are involved, to prevent rotation, you should come above the elbow. Whether that's, a sugar tongs my preference, okay? Long arm. PA splints of some sort would be fine too. But yeah, you should immobilize the elbow.
And I'm assuming to reduce this, you're basically going to do that well.
The thing is, though, it's not really basic because, and Dr. Duncan will tell you, she hates these, okay? Because the ulna is still on and the radius is 100% off. It's easier when they're both off. When one's on and the other one's completely off, it takes a significant amount of torque to get the one back on, and it's usually the radius that's off. So what you have to do is you have to recreate the deformity, basically bend the kid back in half again, shove the distal piece back up and forward, and then pull it down. Because it's overlapped, you can't simply push it forward. It will go nowhere. You have to literally take, bend it back, shove it forward, and then bring it back down, okay? Because it won't. And you have to get it all the way back to sort of unlock it so that it will slide. If you take it back this far and shove it, then it won't. You'll still have step off. It really is. It's a lot of force, and I mean, I really torqued on that kid hard. I wouldn't expect you guys to do that.
When you did it in
Peds, sorry. I did it in Peds. I would not expect you guys to do this in the ER. Maybe there are others that would. But I wouldn't expect you to do this in the ER, okay? So. Okay. Diane's got a presentation, so I better leave. Okay, I'm sorry.